Honestly, I wasn't sure we could pull this off ourselves.
You had the vision, and Blinds.com brought your dreams to life.
Yeah, their custom window treatments and free design consultation. Total game changer. Ava walked us through everything. Styles, colors, what would work best in this space.
And we didn't have to leave the house. Free samples showed up fast, and they made it super easy to compare and choose.
Right? Plus, no high-pressure sales pitch, just smart guidance. And the install? I thought it'd be tricky, but Blinds.com instructions were clear. Everything fits perfectly.
And thanks to their SureFit guarantee, if something doesn't fit, they remake it for free. Talk about peace of mind.
And it costs way less than having a designer to our house or going to one of those overpriced showrooms.
We saved money, got the exact look we wanted, and we did it ourselves.
We did it.
So, kitchen windows next?
Blinds.com makes buying and installing window treatments easy and affordable because nobody covers windows better than Blinds.com. Black Friday deals are going on all month long. Save up to 45% site-wide, plus free professional installation right now at Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions apply.
Once upon a dismal day, Bob's ice cream van looked gloomy and gray. Although he had big ambitions, his socials lacked creative vision.
That bad?
Maybe vamp it up a tad?
I have an idea.
Bob launched Canva and got into gear.
Create the video in the vampire theme and make it the funniest meme.
It went viral. Bob's business, a revival. Now, imagine what your dreams can become when you put imagination to work at canva.com.
Whatever happens today, take it on with a fresh cup of True Brew coffee. Now only $1 with True Rewards. True North Store's True Brew coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. As a free True Rewards member, pick the size that is perfect for you and pay only $1. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Bottom of the hour, we will talk Tigers basketball with Parth Upadhyay. He is well-equipped to do so, covers the Tigers for the Daily Memphian. Make sure you're reading him over at dailymemphian.com. We'll ask him what's the latest on the Tigers. They get set for their season opener against San Francisco tomorrow. I have not seen that line yet, but KenPom's got it as an 82-74 Memphis win. So we'll talk about what we should expect, how concerned we are about what Penny Hardaway said a couple of days ago about his concerns with this team and the fact that it had a sort of players-only meeting. Do all that with Parth from the DM bottom of the hour. Before we do, I was just perusing through some of these Ja Morant trade stories. You know, Sam Amick a couple of days ago wrote a piece over at The Athletic. What does Ja Morant's future with the Memphis Grizzlies look like? It's complicated. He gets into some he says sourced reporting in terms of who might be interested, who wouldn't be, what does Memphis do. You've also got things over at CBS Sports. Ja Morant trade 5 landing spots could work for Grizzlies irritated all-star. And that's why I was so frustrated last week when, Ja, this is after his, when his sort of rant with the Lakers, it was after the suspension. When you had folks like Draymond Green chiming in and Jefferson, it was really just starting to take hold at that point. Now the whole league feels like it's weighed in on what's going on in Memphis with Ja, but had an opportunity to shut it down there, and you didn't with the, no joy and everything else. Now Ja's come back since, and even though it was a loss against Houston, said we need to turn the page. So in terms of trying to put the lid on this, I think it's been a little better. But that said, he's the one that opened us up all to all this because there are plenty of star players in this league. There are plenty of players in this league got a problem with the head coach, got a problem with GM, whatever it is. I'm just going down the list, got a problem with their play or what's happening. And it doesn't get out, Ja chose, he chose to take this public. And unfortunately, he's opened up the door. And in doing so, I don't know that if he realizes that, boy, with the way you're handling it, and oh, by the way, with the way you're shooting right now, 14% from three, if you want to get out of here, you ain't making it easy to do so, And we've talked about the haul for Ja Morant, and I've heard folks talk, well, it's not going to be what it would have been a few years ago when this guy seemed to be, a can't-miss franchise face of your city, of your franchise, everything else. It looked like it was going to be a can't-miss deal, and then, we know whether it was availability issues due to health, whether it was bad decisions. Ja has not been available enough. And so you've had that. You've had now the way he's handled this, the way that in some situations business might be, okay, I'm going to the coach. I'm going to handle this one-on-one, or I'm going to the GM. We're going to keep this in-house. You've taken it outside of house. And in doing so, you've opened yourself up, but more importantly, hurt yourself. in terms of your trade value, right? Teams looking at you and saying, well, yeah, that's for sure going to be a leader with us because he looks so good doing it with the Grizzlies. Now, you know, this is a criticism of Ja Morant for kind of opening us up to this and all these stories and everything else. He's put his franchise in a position where, again, hey, if you want to trade, come out and say it. I don't think you do yourselves any favor, whether it's a silent protest, as Steph and Draymond thought it was, a quiet quitting, as Chris Harrington has put it. What is best for both sides now, even if Ja wants out, is to put the lid on this, move forward, and allow the basketball on the floor to dictate what happens next, right? If you want out of here, yeah, go tell Kleiman, and then go back out there and play for right now. And look like a leader of a franchise and who's got some urgency and some joy, because frankly, that'll help us get you out of here. Now, back to Kleiman, because I can sit up here and I can go on for 3 hours about Ja Morant, what he should do, what he shouldn't do, and what I wish he would do and everything else. But Zach Kleiman has really dropped the ball on some of this, because it was absolutely necessary if you were going to move this way and move on from a coach in Taylor Jenkins, who had gotten you to 2 straight 2 seeds, done pretty well in turning this thing into what looked like a future contender, moving on from him when you did and going to Isolo, and then not doing any interviews in terms of moving Isolo from interim to head coach. It was critical that Zach Kleiman make Ja believe in Isolo, right?
Yes.
Had to be. That's why, in fact, it's so common sense that's the way you operate. So, and what would Milwaukee do with Giannis? That you would include him in that. It was so common sense, we figured it happened. It had to have happened. And we saw Ja come back from the Taylor Jenkins strike off the injury list. He's back in there. The numbers are up because Zach Edey's setting screens for him now. He looked happy. And he looked happy, you know, all off season, coming into the media day, everything else. He's apologizing fans for missing games, everything else. Came with looking like he wants to play every game this season. And we talked about it getting to the halftime of that Lakers game and everything changed. I do wonder, because, you know, we got past, I think it was the October 10th, and pardon me if the date's off, but that deadline to extend guys. And we thought, you know, well, this is okay. Yeah, Ja's just, you know, he's introduced his new representation. This would be a good time to re-up with Memphis. Memphis knows. I mean, there's not going to be any haggling on what the number is going to be. Mike Wallace was educating me on that. The number's the number with a max guy like Ja. And so what's their, you know, yeah, maybe they didn't get it done, but it'll get done at some point, right? I don't know, man. What when you were 3-2, you're handling the Lakers, things seemed to be going pretty well. And we can, sure, maybe you're coming out sooner than you want to, but things looked all right. I do wonder, as I was saying, if maybe we've overlooked sort of them not coming to a contract extension, and whether or not that's Ja Morant has still got some feelings.
Yeah, I mean, it seems like the timeline coincides, doesn't it?
It does. The issue is we've sort of looked at this, and Ja's pointed to go ask the coaching staff. Seemingly everything has been about, right, the rotations, how he's using. So it's hard to go to that. But I do wonder if we overlooked it, if there could be some feelings, especially when the belief that we know had to be there, to go back to where we started, of Ja Morant in Isolo, seemed to be gone so quickly. Either way, it's unfortunate to see these things, because it doesn't help you. When Sam Amick, I saw Houston Rockets not going to trade for Ja Morant. Like, that's not good for what you've got going on right here, right now. I don't know if the rest of that roster knows whether Ja Morant wants to be here or not. And that is a distraction at a time where, you know, your unproven head coach is trying to get everybody on the same page. Again, seems to me like he's adding to the problem by the ins and outs and everything else. All the, you know, 4 minutes here, 4 minutes there. Not going, you know, I'm not Cedric Coward. Sure, I can put him in the starting lineup, but I'm not going to do it. Even though Jalen Wells and KCP aren't hitting the thing, seems like he could contribute to some of the smoothness too. My point is that everybody's got blame in this. It's a version of what we've said all along on this show. Zach, Jock, Isolo, and oh, by the way, so does Jaren Jackson Jr. Because I'm going to tell you this, and this is my opinion, and this is what my eyeballs tell me. I see a guy taking one shot. Yeah, a lot of that's on Isolo. A lot of that's on spacing, as Josh says. I see a guy taking one shot in the first half against Houston. A max guy's making $35 million this year on the raise, and then, yes, becomes max next year, $49, $50 million. Man, some of the stuff he's doing looks like silent protest as well. So while Ja, and he's getting the brunt of it because he's the one that took it public, man, I'm sensing a second superstar. I could be wrong, Brad. I'm leaving that out there. I could be wrong. But I'm sensing a second superstar that's sort of doing the same thing. He's just doing it under the sort of under the umbrella.
Sure.
The Ja umbrella. And so nobody's watching it. But it looks to me like you've got a second superstar. You know, the second guy who this thing's supposed to be all built around, that he ain't in with Isolo either right now. And that he's sort of giving you, in some ways, a silent protest. That's we haven't spent a lot of time on Jaren and him in this. And sort of how does Jaren feel about Isolo? But I'm telling you, from the basketball on the floor, he's looked just as frustrated. And so, Jaren, if whatever's going on, you know, leadership is not in this case. And Sane said it. We won't want to see more ownership. Jaren's in year eight now. You got to put your foot down, whether it's in your own individual effort or getting on this same page with Isolo. But it's got to happen. You're in year eight. You're not year two or year three and having it all preached to you until you've seen some things now. And you know how critical a time and a juncture this is for the Grizzlies. And so my thing is, if Jaren is silent protesting too, brother, you need to come out of it. Because that's, to me, it's letting Ja do all that, and you're just as frustrated? No. You need to be getting this ironed out too with those guys. And so my point, effort level needs to be there for you tonight, even if you're not getting the shots that you, got when Ja Morant was out and you were the number one option. So my thing is, this is frustrating to watch. Everybody's got a role in it. But most importantly, the guys at the top do. The two stars, the general manager who needs to get this smoothed over fast if he's going to save any value in terms of trade value for Ja Morant. And then the head coach who's still trying to build credibility with the rest of the roster that looks like he's adding to the problem with these quick rotations.
Yep.
Like, somebody gets some common sense injected in there. And let's at least get this thing to a point where it's smoothed over and we can sort of come back at it and take a look at it once you've got, you know, does this still look this bad, this rocky, or feeling still this bad after Zach Edey and Ty Jerome are back? Because it'd be nice to just get back to some point of treading water, at least with effort level, with guys being engaged, before we have to make a final judgment. Because you and I were talking about that. I don't think it's fair. We talked about Saints bringing up things about Isolo that I'm right with him on. I don't understand it. It is not fair at this point to say Isolo cannot do this job when you have not seen what it looks like with Zach Edey and Ty Jerome, who can help this woeful shooting. You know, maybe get Ja Morant off the ball a little bit more, some of that. Yes. Whatever it is, we can't judge Isolo fully and whether this is going to happen until we see it with that. And then, to be honest with you, whether the system's going to work and take it be contender level, well, that's way on down the line. So that's a whole another level of proving that Isolo will have to do. But right now, we can't make a final judgment on whether or not he can handle this just based on the fact that he's having a rough go right now with his two stars. We've got to wait to see what it looks like with a key piece in it, especially as it relates to spacing once you've got Zach Edey. Ty can help that too with the shooting.
Yeah, so I think fans agree with that, right? Because you want Ty Jerome and you want a healthy roster before you can judge the coach. Well, I think
you got a lot that are hot, right. seem to think he's already not the guy.
But I want to talk about that. Is it fair to say this? You can't win and be like the Houston Rockets or any of the elite teams if you don't play your best players a lot.
And Ja got 35 minutes last game. It's how you're deploying them, and the fact that, as Sane pointed out, that Ja and Jaren are only out there 14 minutes together. Now, some of that is because you're so shorthanded, you're trying to cover the second unit. You'd like to have your stars out there for the majority of the game, and you feel like you have to, because that second unit, as shorthanded as it is, you know, that's why Cam Spencer's performance stood out so much the other night, because other than Cedric Howard, you haven't been getting much on a consistent basis from the bench. And so, you know, from that standpoint, the reinforcements and Zach Edey soon hopefully will help. But I don't know. I mean, you can't run away. You said Isolo's not the guy. There are plenty that believe already that Isolo's not the guy. You tell me today we need to reserve judgment?
No, I'm not. I think he's not the guy. And I think he's not
the
guy.
Loud.
Yeah, I think he's not the guy. And the reason why I don't think he's the guy is because of the second question I asked, which is, you cannot win games at the highest level if you don't play your best players a lot, period. Yeah. I've played basketball a long time. When the best players are sitting on the bench, more than the bad players or the average players, guess what? You don't win as many games. That doesn't take a rocket scientist to figure out. We're seeing it with our eyeballs. And I don't mean to get so riled up about it, but like that's why I didn't play a lot when I was in school, because I wasn't the best player. Guess who was on the bench? The bad player. You don't even leave them in the rotation. Like, Houston played really eight guys. Now, it ended up on the box score. You might see a couple of guys in scrub time there, but there was eight, and they just kicked your ass. So I think fans have a keen eye for basketball in this town, and one of the things that I've learned living in this town is, man, we got a lot of hoop heads here who understand basketball, and I just think it's hard if you don't have your best players. And so, you know, we're going to see a couple of their best players get back hopefully here soon with Edie, and then maybe you can do more pick and roll, but I don't know if that's the magic bullet. You know,
we saw some of this last year. We didn't see it necessarily with this quick hook and four-minute stretches, but we saw some of this last year when they were playing the Stars fewer minutes.
Right.
That's why I don't understand how this can be about minutes when this was always Isolo's system. He's tails climbing, this is what I do. Climbing falls in love. Then you go to Ja and you say, this is what he does. You had that. There should have been some understanding.
Right.
Now, back to it. Isolo said he's pragmatic. Bro, you've got to have more feel. You're going off the sub patterns and the patterns. I'm using his language, the stuff he tells Drew Hill and Chris Harrington and DeMichael Cole in those press conferences, stuff that makes my eyes bleed. I can't understand it. But they've got all the patterns and the sub patterns and all the numbers up that say this is better. Bro, you have got to have some feel. If Ja Morant and Jaren Jackson are rolling, you don't pull them off the floor in the middle of a run but just because the sub patterns say, oh, it's time to go get this other rotational guy in and get them some rest so I can keep them fresh.
That goes
back to feel. So back to Isolo, who has seemed like a guy that understands that,
sure.
That at least in what he says, that he's not, that he's pragmatic, he can adjust. We've seen adjustments in games. That's the part I don't. You have to have more feel. Clearly, the patterns and the sub-patterns right now are leading to L's, but more importantly, frustration with your players. You know, you're not even speaking the same language anymore. They don't understand the patterns and the sub-patterns and certainly don't see it to a point that this finished product that you do, right, and all of a sudden this is going to bear out into some playoff team that's making a run. So adjust. That's what coaches, NBA coaches, do on a nightly basis. And you can still keep your, you know, sort of theories and approaches mostly whole, but you have to adjust them. And that's what I'm saying. We're seeing a guy that Zach Kleiman fell in love with. You know, y'all saw this stuff on the film. You saw what he's doing, all the movement, all the hot potato basketball. We fell in love. We said this could be great in the NBA. Look at all those numbers and everything else. We still don't know if it works over here. Systems and numbers and sub patterns and all that, man. You got to have players.
Yeah.
You got to leave them out there. You got to let them ball like Houston did the other night. And you got to keep them on the same page. That's also part of NBA coaching. I'm not sure, to your point, if Isolo's got that. If he can speak that language.
Yeah.
If he can talk to, as Drew Hill put it with us earlier this week, and I think brilliantly, there's managing basketball players and then there's managing people. And as an NBA coach, you got to do both. So your patterns and sub-patterns, that can all go into managing the basketball players. But, bro, you're struggling on managing the people right now because they don't seem to understand it.
Well, and I think even sometimes when you don't have the hot hand, a lot of these dudes in the NBA, they leave those players out there because they do it both ways. They're like, he's not hot, leave him out there. He is hot, leave him out there. You got to have a sense for the personality as much, even in these L's, because it's like, man, players are so weird. If they're you just need them on the court. You know, and because it's like any business. A lot of times you put up with a lot of mess so you can get to the good.
Right. We've it'd be one thing if you were, you know, three and six?
No. Yeah.
It'd be one thing if you were
you're three and six, 2-4 at home.
One thing if you were 8-1, 9-0, and this system is saying, oh my gosh, this is unlike anything I've ever seen before.
Yeah.
Like you said, we've been watching basketball a long time around here. Right. And one thing we know, while the basketball coaches may know more than us individual, whatever, we know feel.
Sure.
We know that something looks different when you're pulling a guy that's on a heater and putting in a four-man, you know, as my man Marcus said, four-man subgroups because of the
right.
It's like, but just because that's what the system says to do. It can't be all analytics. Oh. It can't. It has to be some feel. You got to have some Lionel Hollins up in there.
I agree with that.
You know, some feel up in there, and Isolo's got to find the balance. And it is critical right now. It is truly critical because it does. It feels like you're, you're sort of waving in the wind with your two stars not on the same page, and that threatens the whole outfit. It threatens the whole rest of the roster if they look like they're not getting it, but more importantly, don't want to get it. That's why you better start speaking some player language as opposed to pattern language.
Well, my flag kind of went up, and it's a very light example, but when he was doing those press availabilities with Gabe in the preseason, he talked a lot about football analytics. And that scared the crap out of me because it's like, when you watch football, there is 11 guys, and it's a way more, in my opinion, it's a way more tactical sport than basketball. Basketball, to me, is a little more of athleticism. Yep. A lot of times, the ball just goes in the hoop accidentally. You know what I'm saying? Like, So it's not the same. It's not the same with the analytics in basketball, in my opinion. And again, I'm not a coach. They've made their bed with this dude. But, like, I don't know, Jason. It's going to be interesting to see what they do on both fronts, the player front and then the coach stuff.
I'm going to need Isolo to go back and pull out some of those old Slam magazines. If you read Isolo's story, you'll remember how big Slam magazine was in his youth and growing up.
That's
how he loved NBA basketball, reading Slam magazine.
Right.
Okay. And
this is good.
If he remembers, you know, those Slam magazines, man, and the players that those guys wrote about, he's going to have to go back and reread that, because that's the part that's missing, is being able to talk to those guys. You can read all about the basketball and know your patterns and sub-patterns, but hopefully there's a story in there about how to talk to stars, how to speak their language, how to talk to them as people, because I think that's the part that's missing right now. He can't seem to connect to them and get them back bought in. Sometimes that's not about X's and O's or your system or getting somebody to see something that they can't right now. It's about getting them to believe and buy in. And a lot of times you got to be a people person to be able to get that done. So, you know, that part of this is the part that needs to get solved. Hopefully it can. You'd expect that all the meetings that need to take place have taken place, as urgent as this is. Hopefully the Grizzlies get it together. Again, pregame tonight, 6:30. This is an opportunity. It's a 2-6 Dallas team. I got John texting at me now. He must be back about how bad this Dallas team is and how much he thinks it's a must win. Yeah,
I think
John,
he's right about
welcome.
That.
You come right back, and you're right back here. Yeah, it's a must-win, four down, and this Dallas team, I'm struggling. That loss to the Pelicans came with, I think, Zion out, and that was the second night of a back-to-back for the Pelicans.
Yes.
And they beat Dallas. So opportunity for the Grizzlies to stop this slide. If you don't, we could be looking at a 9- or a 10-game losing streak based on what's coming up. We're going to talk to Partha Pajai. I'm going to turn the page and talk some Tigers basketball. They've got their season opening tomorrow. Hopefully, we'll be talking about a 1-0 start for Memphis when they play San Francisco. It's a 2 p.m. game. Part's going to join us. We'll break it all down, what to expect from San Francisco. Feels like it's a completely different both sides, San Francisco and Memphis, than the 68-64 matchup that Memphis won last season. We'll do all that with Parth from the Daily Memphian next. You're listening to Jason John, 92.9 FM, ESPN. Parth Upadhyay is going to educate us as the Tigers basketball beat writer for the Daily Memphian. Make sure you're reading him. Make sure you're listening to him as well. Those podcasts over there, dailymemphian.com. You can follow him on X at Upadhyay. Underscore?
At P. Upadhyay underscore.
Left out the P. Close. P. Upadhyay underscore. I just can't read my own typing out there, Parth. I need to enlarge these letters clearly with where my vision is now. I apologize. P. Upadhyay underscore.
I appreciate it.
Make sure you're following him like we all are, and he will educate you as well. All right. Educate me, Parth. How concerned should I be about Penny Hardaway's last press availability where he said he's concerned and we find out that there's been sort of a players meeting that you don't typically see, you know, preseason?
Yeah, I'm not sure if that was a players only meeting. They described it as just a meeting, right? They didn't, like Quante Barry didn't say it was just the players.
Got it.
He did say all 15 players were there, right? Yeah. And it was mainly the players talking, like it was player led at least. That's not great, you know? I mean, it's great that whoever, whether it was Doug McDaniel or Quante Barry or whoever the guys are on that team, whoever orchestrated that or initiated that, that's good. That's good leadership. But the fact that needs to be done, right?
Yeah.
Before the ball's even tipped off in the regular season, that's concerning. And then, you know, you kind of take that and you take Penny's comments, which, you know, after the Auburn game, he had said a bit of that. He didn't say all of what he said on Wednesday, but he had touched on that. And he touched on how last year's team was, he felt a lot further along, right, in terms of cohesion chemistry. Even with just one returner in Nicholas Jourdain last year. You know, they didn't have a bunch of guys coming back. It was the same process of starting fresh. But, you know, if he's looking at calendars, this year's team is at least a few steps behind of where last year's guys were with P.J. Haggerty and Tyrese Hunter in them. And then we saw the product on the court, right? We saw it against Auburn. So you add all of that up, and I think it's fair to be concerned. I also think, you know, let's not bury them before we see them right. in real action, right?
I'm just talking about your eyeballs.
Uh-huh.
Him saying the cohesion's different. They lost both exhibitions last year. Does it look different and discombobulated in a way, both 0-2? I'm just talking about what you see. Would you subscribe to what he's saying terms of watching
absolutely.
It?
I mean, the Auburn game, like, I know a lot of folks couldn't watch it because it was on War Eagle Plus or whatever
right,
it was.
And maybe that's why I'm having to ask the question as opposed to knowing it.
For
so,
sure.
Because I didn't
sure.
see it. Yeah.
I mean, that they were down by 36 in the second half.
The first half, they got rolled.
They got rolled the entire game.
And he said only the first 10 minutes against Arkansas. Was the second half so bad? It was 48-44. I mean, I know Auburn probably lets off.
No, he's talking about, the second half against Auburn. I'm sorry.
Yeah. Here's what I'm asking you. I threw a lot at you.
Yeah.
Penny said that basically, he's told this to you, I think, in the last availability, that only the first 10 minutes against Arkansas were anything good. But that second half against Auburn, at least the score, for those of us that didn't watch it,
for
saw
sure.
48-44. He didn't include that in the 10 minutes with Arkansas. Is that because it wasn't? It was just Auburn
game,
letting up, and there was no good in that either in the second half?
The game was over in the first, I don't know, 10, 11 minutes against Auburn. So
right.
I think, you know, with some of the rotations that Stephen Pearl put out there, it seemed like even they were just going through the motions at that
right.
point, right? Everybody's okay. trying to get out of there injury-free when that game has been decided in the first 10, 12 minutes. So I think the second half, there were, you know, a few things you can take away, but I wouldn't
okay.
you know, I wouldn't make any declarations
so
from
been.
That second half, even
yeah.
though it was a four-point differential there.
Okay, so yeah. you are on the same page with what you saw that Penny's on in terms of being concerned coming out of those two. Jeffrey asked me if I had any thoughts on who he might be talking about in terms of the more talented guys aren't given the effort. Rather than asking you that question, though, and I'm curious, because Brad, I thought, brought up a good point. Is there any way any of this is maybe sandbagging a little bit? Like, you know, Penny used to go into seasons, man, I'm feeling national championship, this
yeah.
looks good, all
yeah.
that stuff. And at one point he was saying this is the second best roster top to bottom talented-wise. He was
That was
I'm
5
just,
weeks ago. That's crazy.
Okay,
how do we go, you know,
well,
to a complete 180?
He's had two pretty bad exhibitions, according to you guys, other than the first 2 minutes, 10 minutes, everybody that watched them all. And so I'm just curious if any of this could be a little bit of sandbagging, because Brad brought it up. I wanted to see what you thought. A little bit of underplaying that maybe it ain't so bad behind the scenes. He's just trying to sort of, you know, undersell and over-deliver a different, you know, a change.
I would maybe sure. subscribe to that, but then when you hear Quante, you hear the players saying, like,
say
echoing
that we
the
literally
same
had
things,
a meeting
right?
of all 15.
If
yes.
the players were confused, like, coach said what? Like, you
no,
know, it
true.
Wasn't
they,
that.
They back seemed to back it up with
they
what they were saying.
They backed it up
happened.
And offered more details, right? They offered
oh,
details
boy.
About trying to get things together in that team meeting or
yeah.
players meeting or whatever
no,
it was.
You're right. That's why it does
so,
feel different.
You know, like I said, when everybody's sure. saying kind of the same thing, everybody's ringing the alarm before the game's even are played, like, I don't think it's just downplaying what the team can be. I think it's him being candid as he always is. Just, you know,
yeah, he's usually transparent, tells you what's yeah, what, he,
above,
what he's
right?
believing
yeah.
at yeah, what he's believing
what he's
at the time.
Yeah.
You can certainly help me with this, and you have. This San Francisco team, last year we know, 68-64, you went out there, played them at the Chase Center. Dane Danger in that game, I went back and looked, was a factor early on. Had 18 points, was big.
Yep.
Having him and his presence in the middle really helped you. Not sure they've got anything that's in shape enough or close enough to be like that. But is this San Francisco team different, too, in terms of what it brings back? Reggie, what did you say, 5 of their top 8 scores? That's more back than I thought.
Yeah, 5 of their top 8, but their top 2 guys are gone, one of them being
Malik Thomas,
who gave the Tigers fits, I believe, if I'm
that's,
not mistaken, last
him.
Year. He's
You're
at Virginia
right.
now. The other guard, I'm totally blanking on his name, but he graduated. So those 2 guys are gone, but they've got 5 of their 8 back. And they've got 2 starters back. They've got Tyrone Riley and I believe Ryan Beasley
okay.
Back in that backcourt.
Yeah, go ahead.
No, and it's feels like it's going to be, and they've only played a Division III team, right? So we don't have like a lot of data or evidence on them or anything like that, but it just seems like it's going to be the same style of play, right? Like that switch everything, hound you on defense, share the ball, spread the wealth, which could give a Memphis team that doesn't have that cohesion at this point fits.
I was just looking at Malik Thomas was the only guy last year that scored in double figures for him, 25. They did have a big rebounder, and Tyrone Riley had 9 rebounds had 13 rebounds in that game. But in terms of the Beasley, you said he's back?
Beasley's back. Ryan Beasley.
Beasley
and
is
those
back.
Two guys, Beasley and Riley.
He had two last year, but was out there, played 24 minutes, Beasley.
Those guys are preseason West Coast Conference, all West Coast Conference teamers. You know, in the same conference as Gonzaga and St. Mary's, right? So they're considered, at least by the league's coaches, to be among the top 10 players in that conference.
Yep. Starters? He said he didn't know, right?
He said he didn't know. He said he didn't.
What are you expecting?
It's hard. I mean, at this point, we might as well pull names out of a hat, right? Like, that might be a closer.
We know the backcourt, though, right?
I think you know you can Sharpie and Doug. And then Sincere scored 19 against Auburn.
I figured, yeah. That meant sharpening him in there, too. That's what I thought, based on his shooting in that game. Wouldn't you agree?
No, for
those,
sure.
So those
for
two,
sure.
we
so
think.
I think Doug I'd put in Sharpie, and then Sincere, let's do it in Penn, right?
Because
you can scribble
out
Penn. But you got what I'm saying. Like, that's kind of the idea there. And then everybody else, is your guess is as good as mine, because, you know, he basically implied that he doesn't even have five guys in mind that he can trust. And these are his words. He used the word trust. He used the word rely upon. Which is, you know, crazy.
Yeah. Why is Zach Davis not one of those? Why is Barry not one of those guys?
You would think they would be, right?
Yeah.
And Bradshaw, because of, you know, his length and his promise and potential, like, he should be out there as well. But, you know, who knows?
And then my guy whose name I can never remember from UT Rio Grande.
Yeah, Hassan Abdul-Hakim.
What is his health status?
Yeah, Penny told us on Wednesday that he's at about 75 or 80%, but the guy played 1 minute, 1 minute against Auburn. So that shows you, you know, he's not right, you know, after that quad bruise that he sustained.
So we have no idea in terms of health-wise and status-wise and the kind of shape they're in on him and Ingram. I mean, those are the two, because Ingram didn't play very many minutes in either one either.
No, Ingram played a combined 11, I think, like 6 in one, 5 in the other. And Penny said it, like, you know, especially with Hassan, he said that's a guy, like, I was relying upon. That's a guy that when, you know, he looked at this season, he was, you know, a pillar offensively, defensively, and everything they're trying to do. Just with his versatility and his playmaking ability at the, you know, 3/small ball 4. And now you just don't have, you know, one of your main dudes out there. Plus your front court takes a hit with a guy who you brought in to fill that hole not being in shape yet, according to Penny.
Yeah. Man. I don't know if they've got as many questions as the Grizzlies do right now with everything going on with their superstars, but there do feel like maybe even more questions than going into last season. Here's what I want to touch on.
Something weird's going on with Memphis sports, man.
Tell me about it. Cobb asked me yesterday, David Cobb, if we're going into this season with more apprehension than maybe ever before, and I think I correctly reminded him that going into last season, coming off of the debacle that Quinterly team was, and how it ended, that actually there was more last year just in terms of can Penny do. We were asking the question. It felt like openly Jeff was writing it. I think John was writing it. Man, if Penny's gonna get this done, it needs to happen now. So I'm saying that to say, Parth, it felt like he had his best season. If you're talking about the 5 seed they earned, the regular season, the conference, and that he's built that equity in having it, I realized that. You know, you left something on the table not winning that first round game against Colorado State. But my point to Cobb was it does feel a little bit different in that maybe Penny's earned at this point after last season a little bit of the benefit of the doubt on working things out. I don't know. What did last season, whole new roster, getting through it. This season, maybe the ceiling's not as high. But do you think he's earned that?
Yeah.
And that it's a little bit less in terms of after, can Penny do this?
I mean, definitely, right? Like, he won 29 games last year, earned a 5 seed in the tournament, won the conference regular season and tournament. And had an All-American guard, right, in P.J. Haggerty. The difference, I think, is, and Penny mentioned this as well, that last preseason he took the same approach. He didn't install any offense, didn't install any defense, let the guys go out there and hoop. But they competed last year against North Carolina. They competed against Alabama. The scores may not indicate that, but we watched those games, man. They fought, did. Right? They grinded. And they just had more talent on paper. I know Penny said this is the second most talented team.
Yeah.
But the computers, the 247 sports rankings, the On3 rankings, whatever it may be, don't necessarily back that sentiment up, right? I was looking at it last night. So the past 6 seasons, and Penny's been here for 7. This is year 8, right? So the past 6 Memphis Tigers seasons, Penny Hardaway has gone into the year with at least a 25th or better ranked portal class or high school recruiting class.
Mm.
This is the first year in 6 years that he doesn't have either.
Interesting.
So that's I think that's the stark difference, especially when you're a coach who likes to give your guys freedom, you know, when you've got PJ Haggerty and Tyrese Hunter and, you know, Dane Danger even out there, like, those guys are folks who've been there, done that, right?
Yeah.
To a certain extent. And this year you've got a bunch of guys that need molding and need development, quite frankly.
And you won't have much time between San Francisco and Ole Miss. Like, what is it, 3 days before you're playing them
Tuesday
on
night.
Tuesday?
Tuesday night, yeah. That's going to be a tough one, man.
I was going to say, that Ole Miss team, what they've done down there, and they've been, my gosh, we've seen what Chris Beard has done. They've historically sort of been a thorn in the side of Memphis here lately, especially it even goes back to before Beard.
Just being a rival, a regional rival, yeah.
I mean, I know we've looked ahead to Purdue and some of the bigger games on their schedule, but, you know, if you don't get this one right off the bat, you know, you could be – I just wonder, with you already having team meetings, if you're not coming out and beating San Francisco, at least when you've got to play Ole Miss right after, you know, I feel pretty good about Brad's running Rebels, considering they lost to UT Martin, Josh off to a pretty tough start.
But, you know, Josh is going to have those guys amped up.
To come back here and play for him.
Let me look at the first four games.
No,
San
Parth.
You
no, Parth.
So?
No, the UNLV sucks.
I'm wondering about.
I mean, they did lose to UT Martin.
Like they us, which suck.
Is I'm wondering
They've got
about
some injuries, right, Brad?
They have three guys still down, scholarship dudes. Yep.
Gotcha.
I'm concerned about a 1-3 start if you don't get the San Francisco win.
Yeah, I mean, this thing could start slipping away quick, right? Like, if you don't get this one, and then Ole Miss is a tough one, and you're on the road against a rival, against a team that's, I think, top 25 in KenPom, in front of a raucous crowd, should be a raucous crowd in that arena. And then you've got, you know, maybe, I know Brad's kind of downplaying it, but an amped up UNLV team, you know, Josh trying to prove a point or whatever it may be, and then Purdue. So that's a tough.
Yeah, you got to get San Francisco.
Tough four game stretch.
The only one I feel good about with UNLV at 128 right now, KenPom, is that UNLV game. San Francisco, I mean, you know, 86. If you don't go to play,
it's
a
respectable team. Yeah.
Gerlofsen, I think, is the coach over there. I mean,
I can't pronounce his last name
Chris
either.
Chris Gerlofsen.
Yeah, in his fourth year.
I think. But then, like you said, you know, fourth game, you're playing Purdue. And so I worry about an uncertain or a bad start with this team because you have so many new pieces. And if you add adversity at the beginning, like with a group whose chemistry is not built yet, that could go off the rails pretty quickly. And this is the most important time of their season because if they're going to make a tournament, this is where you got to. You know, this is where you're going to earn your seat.
For sure. And I've heard, you know, we've all said it, like, nobody's expecting this team to go 10-3 through the non-conference.
Right.
But let's say they go, because they don't have that Utah State game till Valentine's Day, right?
So right, so got, it's first 12.
It's
right?
first 12 until December 31st when they play North Texas at home. But, I mean, let's say things go poorly, and through the first 12 they go, I don't know, let's say 5-7, you know, maybe 4-8.
Oof.
That's, like, worst case scenario. If that were to happen, of course the Americans watered down. Of course the American, they've got, you know, Memphis has more talent than anybody in this league, but there's a human element. You
right.
know, when you've lost that many games, like, does the team start splintering, you know, even further? Does other stuff kind of fester?
We saw them get off to a great start and then it all come apart after a little adversity hit on what looked to be a good team.
Exactly.
And as I mean, if this one's not, you know, certainly don't hope that it, what kind of crowd are you expecting? I just wonder with the, yeah, you got Tigers football. They're still in it and everything else. Grizzlies are tonight and everything. Just if folks are, I mean, I don't know if the balling on Beal is any indication of where folks are on this team, but I don't know.
Balling on Beal was impressive.
Yeah.
The
crowd for Arkansas was good. A lot of that was Arkansas fans.
Yeah, there
looked like
a few thousand Arkansas fans.
Just kind of wondering about
the
fan vibe on this team. I guess we'll find out tomorrow. I'm as curious about that tomorrow as I am about what the basketball is going to look at. How in folks are on this team because you don't know anybody. You know, yes.
And it's hard to say because they announced attendance and we don't get the turnstile numbers until after the season ends.
Right.
But if you had to put a number on butts and seats, what are you thinking? Maybe 6-7 tomorrow? Right?
Yeah, if just historically, it's been the Ole Misses and Mississippi States that have been your biggest crowd,
that
right?
You get that 9-10 bump, yeah.
Yeah,
uh-huh.
So I'm looking
College
at,
football Saturday, like a lot of people be going to SEC games.
Yeah.
Got that going on as well.
Georgia, Mississippi State, you know, all these different
places. At least your football here in Memphis will be done the Friday night.
That,
for the Tigers fans, at least.
Point.
But you're right. I mean, you're going to have football on all day long. It's going to be less than 10.
And any excitement or enthusiasm.
Hope it's just not a tomb in there is what I'm hoping.
For sure. Any enthusiasm that was built, you know, through the offseason with the acquisition of Doug McDaniel, Aaron Bradshaw, Penny's comments, whatever, has kind of like is gone. With what we've seen in the preseason.
Yeah.
And this is the Dons, though. We got the Dons coming in.
Sincere, all good for right now, right? Everything all hold off
yes.
the court? Okay.
Yes, he's expected to, you know, continue to be a full participant in the program.
All right. It all starts tomorrow at 2. Parth will have us covered over at dailymemphian.com. Hopefully be 1-0 because this is a tough stretch of non-conference. It's another tough schedule for Penny Hardaway's group. Hopefully it comes together quick. Parth, you are the best.
Man, appreciate
you guys. Yes, make sure you're following his work over at PUpajai_ over on X at PUpajai_. Read him at dailymemphian.com. We'll be back to wrap it all up. Get this handed off to Jeffrey Wright and Company. This is J&J 929 FM.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
At Marisa's, we're all about great jeans. You know, the ones that fit you just right. The ones that go from work days to weekends and everywhere in between. The ones that simply make you feel good. Because you don't just wear jeans, you live in them. With 25 sizes, 5 lengths, and 6 denim brands, you've got options. And fit experts in every store to make jean shopping easier. Find great jeans starting at $29.90 in stores and at Marisa's.com.
Why does every recipe I try need 18 ingredients, including a jar of something paste I'll never use again but will sit in my fridge for 9 months? I just want dinner in the oven, fast. That's why I love Blue Apron's new one-pan assemble and bake meals. They send you fresh ingredients that are already chopped. All you do is put it all together and bake. That's it. No chopping, no weird leftovers, just delicious, easy-to-make meals. Get 20% off your first 2 orders with code APRON20. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
Honestly, I wasn't sure we could pull this off ourselves.
You had the vision, and Blinds.com brought your dreams to life.
Yeah, their custom window treatments and free design consultation. Total game changer. Ava walked us through everything. Styles, colors, what would work best in this space.
And we didn't have to leave the house. Free samples showed up fast, and they made it super easy to compare and choose.
Right? Plus, no high-pressure sales pitch, just smart guidance. And the install? I thought it'd be tricky, but Blinds.com instructions were clear. Everything fits perfectly.
And thanks to their SureFit guarantee, if something doesn't fit, they remake it for free. Talk about peace of mind.
And it costs way less than having a designer to our house or going to one of those overpriced showrooms.
We saved money, got the exact look we wanted, and we did it ourselves.
We did it.
So, kitchen windows next?
Blinds.com makes buying and installing window treatments easy and affordable because nobody covers windows better than Blinds.com. Black Friday deals are going on all month long. Save up to 45% site-wide, plus free professional installation right now at Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions apply.
Come to DSW for the shoes, stay for the fun. Because, let's be honest, if shoe shopping isn't fun, are you even doing it right? So go ahead, try something new. Try something different. Good different. Try something that feels like you. You know, the real you. And then definitely brag about it later. Because at DSW, you've got unlimited freedom to play. Find the shoes that get you at prices that get your budget at DSW stores or at DSW.com. Let us surprise you.
ESPN. If you are in the market for an engagement ring, if you are in the market for any single piece of jewelry, maybe you need a whole bunch as a piece of jewelry. Boy, would Howie love to hear that. Go see him over at Robert Irwin Jewelers. It's going to be the best deal you've ever made on a piece of jewelry. I'm putting that out there. I'm throwing it out there. It's a prediction. My guess is I'm going to be 100% right. Howie goes about his business in a very special way. It's why he's been in business for 40-plus years, coming up on 50, him and his family. He's going to make you the best deal you've ever made in your life on a piece of jewelry. And that's what's going to keep you coming back. That's how he becomes your jeweler for life. You leave smiling, not frowning. I don't know about you, but I've left a jewelry store, a big box store, as a matter of fact. I bought Faith's engagement ring from there, and my stomach was gurgling because of what I had paid. I said, this must be how it goes. Now, I didn't know Howie back then. I wish I did. I would have gone to Robert Irwin Jewelers like I'm suggesting for you to do. He's got all the options. He can make it from a picture she's got, an idea in her mind. You just tell Howie what you need. He knows what's going to get the yes, and he's got a bunch of a wide array in terms of engagement rings, the selection there in the store. So go see him. He'll take care of it. He's been doing this a long time. Believe me, he knows what he's doing. You can ask her now, pay later, with financing like 24 months deferred interest or take up to 60 months to pay at a low APR. I want to see you smiling coming out of there. I know you're going to get the yes when you go see Howie. Bigger, brighter diamonds, better prices at Robert Irwin Jewelers. 5 locations, 3 here locally or online at rijewelers.com. I want to thank our guests today, the great Anthony Sane and Parth Upadhyay. I feel like we were educated both on Grizzlies and on Tigers. It's a big night. for both Grizzlies and Tigers. Different departments, though, for the Grizzlies, obviously, taking on the Dallas Mavericks. This, we feel like, is a must-win. Dallas is 2-6. They are struggling. So are you. And somebody's got to be sacrificed tonight before you got to play OKC. Somebody's got to go down. On that other one, that Tigers involved tonight, that'll be Memphis Tigers football, 8 o'clock at the bank. Tigers, a 3.5-point favorite. Come down from the 6.5 that it was early in the week.
I want to speak to the fan, Jason Smith, not the radio host, not the media mogul.
Yeah, he was here first hour. I don't know if he's still here. We'll see if you can tap back into him. First hour.
We have media mogul Jason. We have fan Jason. I am asking Jason the fan to bring us a win tonight. That's all we're asking.
I got it, man. We're going to exercise the demons. Tigers haven't lost since my last game at Simmons Bank. That was 2023, lost to SMU. Jeffrey Wright pointed that out. Ryan's been really good with me going at home. Maybe you think I should stay gone, but no, because it ain't me. It ain't got nothing to do with Smiths. It's got to do with the men on that field. Ryan, keep them together. Roll John Summerall in Tulane. It better happen. Do not let me down, or you're going to hear about it on Monday after I paid $38.75 for 3 tickets. You better believe it. Again, thank you to our guests, Anthony Sane, and to the great Parth Upadhyay. Brad, thank you for this week, your help. John is coming back Monday, and he's going to talk to y'all. I ain't talking. This is J&J, 92.9 FM, ESPN. Stay tuned for Jeffrey Wright. For Brad, I'm Jason. We're gone.
Hi, this is Javon, your Blinds.com design consultant.
Oh, wow, a real person.
Yep, I'm here to help with everything from selecting the perfect window treatments to...
Well, I've got a complicated project.
No problem. We make the complex simple. I can even help schedule a professional measure and install.
I didn't realize you did that.
We can also send you samples fast and free.
Wow, I always thought I needed a designer to come to my home, but scheduling's always a nightmare.
Not with Blinds.com. We're on your schedule, and there's no haggling, pressure, or hidden fees either.
I just might have to do more.
Whatever you need. How about you tell me what you had in mind?
Okay, then. So the first room we're looking at is for guests coming over, and I'm thinking of...
From free expert design help to our 100% satisfaction guarantee, everything we do is made to fit your life and your windows. Because at Blinds.com, the only thing we treat better than windows is you. Black Friday deals are going on all month long. Save up to 45% site-wide, plus free professional installation right now at Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions apply.
Once upon an office so dreary, Wendy's HR presentation made everyone weary.
Was it a bore?
A snore. Could have used more charm, for sure.
That's it?
Wendy opened Canva, looking ecstatic. She began to work her magic.
Docs, prints, presentations galore. All in one design. Not dull anymore.
The next day, Wendy wowed the crowd. They clapped loud.
I feel so proud.
Now, imagine what your dreams can become when you put imagination to work at Canva.com.
Whatever happens today, take it on with a fresh cup of True Brew coffee. Now only $1 with True Rewards. True North Store's True Brew coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. As a free True Rewards member, pick the size that is perfect for you and pay only $1. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.